Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Scott, thank you for flipping the order here. I would tell you a fib about what happened, but no yarn I could make up would be as funny as the truth. Anita's down visiting the kids and the grandkids down in Columbus, and so I thought, well, I'm going to get up early and just get up to church a little bit early. And I'm very OCD about making sure I have everything. Well, most of you know I live down around Dover, New Philly, and I got almost up to Canton, and I looked down to where I normally keep my Bible bag. No Bible bag, which is my Bible, my notes for the message. And I thought to myself, well, I'll just call Freeman, and because there's plenty of time ahead, he probably had his phone on. Well, duh. My contact numbers are in the Bible bag that I forgot at home. So I turn around in Faircrest, flying back down 77, Murphy's Law, down by Strasburg. There was an accident, and everybody was at a standstill. So finally got through that, and then by the time it was about 5 till 2, by the time I tried to get a hold of Freeman, and like the good person he is, he had his phone turned off for church services, but made it back up. The only other thing on the way back up, my air conditioning went out. So I guess when you get it all at once. But it's good to see everybody. I'm glad to be here. And again, thanks, Scott, for changing the order. Well, we just finished up the celebration of Pentecost. It was really great to review, as it always is every year, the receiving of the Holy Spirit over in Acts 2. And it's always comforting to know that we have the power of God to help see us through. And it's always, always there for us. All we have to do is commit, have faith, and ask for God to help us with that Holy Spirit. We know the people on that, I guess to say, special Pentecost were all there for one reason. One accord, as the Bible says, they were there to observe Pentecost. And it was going to be a memorable Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was given to the apostles and disciples. The crowd that was there witnessed this. Now, who was this crowd? And we all know from Scripture that it was a, lack of a better term, a hodgepodge of people. There were many different groups from many areas across the continent, speaking many different languages. And we all know that God rectified that situation by making it possible that they could all understand each other. But even with that, as the Bible states, they were still amazed and perplexed. Well, thankfully, Peter was there, and with his oratory, he cleared things up, and he brought the people together. And he told the group, the crowd, that if they wanted to receive this gracious gift of the Holy Spirit, that they should repent and be baptized. And again, we all know scripturally about 3,000 people were baptized. But again, what do we know about those 3,000? Were they maybe community leaders from all across the different nationalities? Did they hold maybe a position of prominence in their individual synagogues? Were they wealthy? Were they poor? And the Bible doesn't say. All we know is they were folks like you and I that were there to observe a commanded holy day. I'm going to go a little awkward on my segue here, but I saw a motivational poster the other day that hit home, and I might have stated this one before. And it states, being a leader is not about ability, it's about responsibility. And really, how true is that? It's very true. If you'd like a title, it would just be ability versus responsibility. Now, is that statement only true for leaders? Well, what about parenthood? When we had our first child, and a lot of you will remember that, remember back to that, were all of us blessed with supreme knowledge and ability on how to successfully rear that child? I don't think so. But you know what? We took responsibility and we were determined to see it through. Well, what about being a good husband or a good wife? I know my ability when I first got married was about a drop in a 5-gallon bucket. And I will say that I had yet to find God's truth. And that was a tremendous road map for me. And just like in any marriage, there were detours along the way. But what a blessing it was to have God's knowledge on how to work through those. And both of us, Anita and I both knew, again, we had the responsibility to make things work. What about being a Christian? Did God call us because of our abilities? I know at least he didn't call me for that reason. You know, you hear about coal turning into diamonds. I don't even think I was coal. I think God was working with peat moss, to tell you the truth. But for some reason, all of us sitting here today, God saw something in us that he called us to be part of his work. So we were not called because of our abilities. But I think I can safely say we all wanted to be part of this precious calling. So we took the plunge, literally took the plunge, and were baptized, and we received God's Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, all those abilities just appeared out of nowhere, right? Again, I don't think so. But at that point in time, when we were baptized, it was about responsibility. You know, we made the commitment, and good or bad, we have to see it through. We were talking a little bit about Pentecost. Turn over to Acts 2. We won't go in depth because we just went through the Pentecost season, but just a couple scriptures in here. Chapter 2, let's just read verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God would call or will call. So this group, these people, were going to receive the promise. As we just read, who else was it for? It was for your children and all those that were afar off. Now, how would their children and those that are afar off hear God's truth? Only one way. You see, when they were baptized, they took on the responsibility to do the commission, to preach the gospel. And so have you and I. Let's finish up here. Let's in Acts, just continue on in verse 40. And with many other words, he, Peter, testified and exhorted them, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, again, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They were added to the apostles and the disciples. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or the apostles' teachings, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common. Again, they were in one accord. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anybody had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, they took their commission seriously. They were responsible people. And they did, obviously, what was right. They got the word out to others, and the church grew because of that. You know, it seems like in today's society, and I don't think anybody's going to disagree with me, nobody wants to take responsibility, do they? Not at all. It's all about the blame game. It's all about justification why you did that. It's about victimhood. Everybody else is responsible, but not me. And don't we see that so much in society today? I mean, personally, some of you might say, well, I didn't mean to get pregnant. It wasn't my fault. Well, the last time I look, it takes two. So in today's society, okay, so let's have an abortion. And even beyond that, oh, by the way, I don't want to pay for that. I want somebody else to pay for that. My spouse doesn't understand me, so I'm out of here. This job is hard, so I'm justified to slack off and cheat on my time card. I commit crimes because my dad was hard on me as a child. Well, boo-hoo. Who wasn't? I mean, we all had strict upbringings. It's all about I, me. Give me a break. We have become such a society of wimps. Everyone else is responsible, but not me. The last time I looked, I really only have two responsibilities in my life. One is to love God and keep His commandments, and the other one is to love each other. Now, commandments, laws, personal responsibility, why? That's hard. It's unfair. Someone has to help me. Again, give me a break. You know, through numerous messages that we heard and from our own personal Bible study, we know that it's God that chose us and not the other way around. And again, as I stated, for some reason, God chose all of us sitting in this room today. Turn over to John 6, just real quickly to reinforce that. John 6. Read verses 41 through 44. John 6, 41. The Jews then murmured, or they grumbled against him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, and wait a minute, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Just glance over to the next page to verse 65. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Pretty clear that God does the calling. And I guess I'll kind of reiterate, and sometimes I ask myself, why did God choose me? And I'm sure all of us sitting here today have sometimes felt that way. But for some reason, God saw something about us, something in our lives. He saw something different in us. And you think about it, He didn't choose Paul for his compassion to the Christians. He didn't choose Moses for his great oratory skills. He didn't choose David because he had a great education and skills on being a leader. I mean, David was a sheepherder, basically. But he saw something in these individuals. And I'm sure God saw one all-encompassing things in these individuals, that they would be responsible. Abilities that weren't yet present, They weren't present when they were called, but they would be developed over time with God's help. We were not called because of our abilities. In fact, the opposite. We know that God calls the meek. He calls the humble. But we learn and we grow every day, hopefully, and we always aspire to be better and to be more responsible. So if being a Christian is not about ability, but about responsibility, what is our responsibility? What is our duty? Sometimes we make it too hard. Turn over to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. I feel pretty good. I had some major dental work done, and I can still say Ecclesiastes. That's pretty good. Ecclesiastes 12, we'll start in verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Preacher sought to find acceptable, or I like the in the rendering, delightful, enthusiastic words. And what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, being admonished by these, of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. And here we go. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's our responsibility, to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, we know that Solomon was considered the wisest man alive at the time. He had probably everything physical that the physical world had to offer. He had knowledge at his fingertips. He had a lot of people, wise people around him. Yet he saw folly in all this knowledge outside of God's knowledge. To him it was folly. And you notice in verse 13, it does not say keep his 10 commandments. It says keep his commandments. We should keep everything that he has instructed us to do. Tithing, holy days, physical, dietary laws, forgiveness, compassion. And one of the big ones is preaching the gospel. Now, I must say probably everyone in this room and listening on the web has followed or practiced these principles. I know we all have. We diligently try to follow God and keep his commandments. Does that make us feel good? Yeah, probably. Does that make us feel special? To feel better about what we're doing? Turn over to Luke 17. Luke 17, we'll start in verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? does he, the master, thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We have only done what was our responsibility to do. And we're not going to get a pat on the back every time we do that. You know, every time we give a tithe or an offering or keep a holy day, you know, we're not going to get a pat on the back and God saying thank you. It's our duty and our responsibility to do what God has commanded us. So if we are to be responsible Christians, we cannot be like the rest of this physical world. Well, I meant to do that, but justification. Well, I meant to forgive him or her, but you know what? They hurt me badly. Victimhood. The minister, that's a great one. The minister gave me bad advice. The blame game. We are responsible to God, not to circumstances. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, let's start in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, each one of us has received some type of ability. As each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another. Use that gift, that ability to help one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is somebody that takes care of something, is responsible for something that somebody gave you. If somebody gave me a dog to keep for a week while they're on vacation, I should be a good steward on taking care of that dog. I should be responsible for taking care of that dog. If anyone speaks, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. It tells me two things. God is going to supply the abilities we need, and probably the abilities are not all going to be even. Somebody's going to have an ability to sing, to lead songs, whatever the ability is, which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So, God did not call us for our abilities. And again, I guess I'll ask the question, we know the answer to it. Does that mean we have no abilities? Of course not. We all have abilities. But before God called us, here's the key point. The abilities that we did have, did we use them, as I just read, did we use them to his honor and to his glory? God has been with us to help us refine and hone those abilities for our true calling. Just real quick, God did not call the equipped. And we've heard this mentioned many times. He equips the called. You know, for those that were raised in the church, I don't know this, sometimes you might take that knowledge for granted, and I hope that's not the case, and I don't think it is. you know, for guys like me that were once peat moss, and I was called later in life, I'm always in awe of what I've learned from God over the years, the knowledge that God's word has given me. And I'm sure we do, and I hope we all feel the same way about that offering, that knowledge that God has for us. You know, sometimes we forget what God has promised us, and we can see that over in John 14. John 14, and we'll just read verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And again, we go back to, we have the access to the Holy Spirit. And how wonderful that was to review each year when we celebrate Pentecost. A true gift from God, that if we really want it, we have all the help that we could ever need. You know, today via the internet, we have access to all the knowledge that mankind has to offer. We also have access to all the knowledge that's truly important, and that's God's word. There's no reason that we cannot find God's word in our Bibles, on the internet, on study courses. It's everywhere. And we have a helper to help us grow and learn. And that helper will always, always be there for us. You know, we spoke of three people earlier that were not totally equipped for what God called them to do. Yet there was something in common with all three becoming equipped. They took responsibility for what God wanted them to do. Just real quick, you look at Moses. Moses was not, we know that biblically, he was not eloquent in speech. So we see the account in Exodus 4 where he made Aaron his spokesman. We also see, as we talked about earlier, that it was God that called Moses. And we know the story of the burning bush over in Exodus 3. And throughout the chapters of Moses' life, the Lord was always with Moses. Did Moses take responsibility? I would say he was probably one of the most responsible people. Could you imagine trying to be responsible for millions of people? Moses definitely took responsibility for what God wanted him to do. David, a sheep herder, as we said. And we learned two things over in 2 Samuel. We're not going to turn there. 2 Samuel 16, God chose David. Again, wasn't the other way around. And David was anointed and received, as the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord. And we know that God would be with him. You know, David made some whopper mistakes, but we also know David was responsible, and he did what he had to do, and he cried out to God for forgiveness. Paul, we know God definitely called Paul. It's not really the way I'd like to be called, but what was the first thing Paul received that was instrumental in him being equipped for his calling? And that's over in Acts 9, 17. Well, two things he received. He received his sight back, which would be very, very beneficial. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul literally threw his old life away. He was done with it. And he took the responsibility to do what God asked him to do. Brethren, God is equipping us. It does not all come in one lump. It comes with time, with seeking, and with asking. And most importantly, we have His Holy Spirit to help us in our endeavors as we move forward. So we know that God will be with us. He called us, God himself called us, not because of our great abilities, but he will equip us with whatever we need. We just have to ask, to seek, and to want. We are guaranteed the help of his Holy Spirit. But most of all, we, each one of us, are to be responsible, to be good stewards of what God has given us, and to do everything to his glory.